news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center's been in place all week long, taking good care of us, so we appreciate his help and hard work. So he's made sure that the podcasts are up and running and everything else, so we really appreciate his help. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is back. He's a professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, author, prolific tweeter, member of the Critics' Choice Association, very pivotal designation and membership because Critics' Choice Awards are this weekend. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Very much appreciative of all of your visits. All right, well, let's start with another creepy movie that's out there. I saw the trailer. It leaves you a little unsettled just to watch it. Is it pronounced Megan?
Megan, yes.
Megan, okay, please.
Megan stars Allison Williams as a designer of high-tech toys who becomes the guardian to her recently orphaned niece. To help the girl cope, she gives her the advanced robot doll she's been working on. Megan, which stands for Model 3 Generative Android, looks almost like a real person and she's fully interactive. But she's also got an angry side, leading her to start killing anyone who hurts or displeases her new best friend. Let me tell you something, you won't see an American Girl doll pulling that nonsense. Megan is an over-the-top horror movie that makes a very down-to-earth point. Much of it is a series of eerie scenes in which the doll goes on a murderous rampage, offing her perceived enemies in creative ways. Chucky has nothing on this girl. Those sequences have impact because the illusion that Megan is real is pulled off to perfection. She does not look like a computer effect. Underneath that bloody mayhem is a theme about how bad it can be when we spend too much time with our devices and not enough time with each other. That gives the movie a little substance to match its outrageous and highly entertaining horror. Megan is bonkers, and I loved every minute of it. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 Annabelles.
Annabelle.
Annabelle is the other killer doll from the Conjuring movies and her own spinoff.
Okay.
So you have this, you have Chucky, you know, who's kind of the old school. Then you got Annabelle, which was like the 2000s, and now we've got Megan, and they're already talking about a sequel to this one, so I think we're going to see more Megan adventures.
Well, in Gone Crazy Cyborgs is not... That's not an old premise, but that's been done, so but they do this in a new way?
They do it in a new way. I'm not entirely sure how they pulled off Megan, because she moves like a human, so I think that they did use a human somehow, but her head... It doesn't look like a computer effect. It almost, I mean, it looks sort of real, like a real robot that is almost human-like. So that's part of why it works. She is convincing, and you never look at it and think, oh, well, that's just a special effect. You really buy her as a character. So that
makes it fun. Well, in the trailer, she's doing gymnastics and stuff, and it looks perfectly normal.
Yeah, she does gymnastics. She dances at one point before she kills a guy. It's just very creepy and kind of off-putting. But again, like you said, it's not a new idea, but what they add to it that's fresh is this theme about how we're all so wrapped up in our devices that we maybe lose connection with the people around us, which is way more important. So that gives the movie just a little bit more depth than you would expect and kind of sets it apart from some of the other films that are similar in their premises.
Okay, so Megan, 3.5 Annabelles, a reference to the other person. You kind of started to allude to some of my answer, and that it's sometimes it looks like a child that's in a costume, another time it just looks like CGI, you know, well done, but you can sort of pick it out. But how did they do this, if you happen to know?
I saw an article online the other day that says how they pulled off Megan, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to read it because I almost clicked it. And then I thought, you know, I enjoyed this movie so much and bought that idea of Megan so much that I decided I didn't want to know how they did it, that it was just something magical about the fact that they fooled me. Because it's very rare to go to a movie these days. We're so used to saying, oh, well, that was done with computers. You go to a Marvel movie and there's a giant monster at the end. Yeah, it's all done with computers. This, I'm not entirely sure how they did it. I have some suspicions, but I don't know for sure. And I thought, you know, I'm going to leave it that way.
Well, some is CGI, I mean, that, or at least enhanced by CGI, so that much is there, but, you know, that's, I'm perfectly willing to accept that. From Titanic up to now, I've been willing to say, oh, no, that's real.
Right.
That ship's going off into the sunset, I can tell you that right now. Okay, where do I go see Megan?
In theaters.
All right, and she has, it's M3 G-A-N.
Right, Model 3 Generative Android.
Good for you. Okay, absolutely. All right, so in theaters. Yeah, you might as well. Any 3D version of this by chance?
No, this is only 2D. But very funny. I should add, too, that there is a lot of humor in this movie. It's partially a satire of technology. So it is creepy at times, but it's also got a sense of humor. This is not a movie that if you're kind of squeamish about horror, you can see this, and it's fairly safe in that regard. You're not going to see anything that's going to make you sick to your stomach or anything like that.
Well, and I don't think the humor is in the trailer.
No, they kind of hold that for the film itself.
Huh, okay. Isn't that funny? That's interesting. You'd think that would add some appeal, but maybe there's two trailers. Well, there's definitely two trailers, because when I watched one you sent me, another one was ready to come up if I wanted to watch a second one. Okay, so that's Megan. The Whale. Boy, unusual film. This is going to be a talked-about film.
Yes, and I was told earlier this week that this movie, it's confirmed to open today at the AMC, Selins Grove 12 at the mall. I was told that they are probably only going to have it for a week. So if you want to see The Whale, you gotta go quickly. But this movie is Brendan Fraser's big comeback, and he's extraordinary in it. He plays a 600-pound man who is basically confined to his apartment. He's got congenital heart failure, and is probably going to die within a week if he doesn't get help and go to the hospital, and he doesn't want to do that. What he wants to do is try to reconnect with his teenage daughter, who's been estranged, and she shows up at his apartment. And the movie is about his final days and how he tries to come to terms with his own situation and how he got to that weight and the things in his life that have gone wrong, and tries to repair his relationship with his daughter. So Brendan Fraser is incredible in this. He's probably going to get an Oscar nomination. You totally believe him. The movie is a little bit too manipulative for my tastes at times, and some of the story things. You know, there's a missionary character who keeps coming by, and you know he's got a secret and this, that, and the other thing. But I think that the movie works well overall because of Brendan Fraser. So I give The Whale 3 stars. It is definitely worth seeing because, again, he's going to be nominated for an Oscar opening today at the AMC, but you got to go this week because it's probably not going to stick around.
Okay, and then after that, then you're up to streaming or whatever it happens to be. And a lot of the streaming movies still charge you anyway to look at them for the first couple weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well go see it where they have the good popcorn.
Yes.
And we'll go from there in a big screen. All right, so that's The Whale. That is out and about. Let's kind of take things in opposite order we were planning. Mm-hmm. Lisa Marie Presley passed away.
Yeah, this just happened last night. Lisa Marie Presley died of cardiac arrest at age 54, of course, Elvis Presley's only child, and a real shock there. You know, it was one of those things that just happened out of the blue. Of course, she was a musician in her own right. She was famously married to Michael Jackson for a while and to Nicolas Cage for a few months, and she is the mother of Riley Keough, a very talented actress who we saw in Mad Max Fury Road and a bunch of other movies, and certainly somebody that Elvis's fans obviously had a real intense love for him, and when he died so young, it was very difficult for them. And I think that his fans really loved and cared about Lisa Marie Presley, and in some ways almost looked at her like part of their own family. So this is a real notable passing here. She was somebody who was very important to a lot of people.
All right, and I think it's interesting how this her death has transcended every news category. It's all over the entertainment. It's all over the hard news. It's all over sort of the legacy entertainer thing because of her tie to Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been breaking news on every platform overnight.
Yeah, it's a real notable celebrity death. And like I said, I think it speaks to people's fondness for her, but also just sort of recognizing that she was their tie to Elvis, that she was a piece of Elvis that was still around, and they really cared about her and embraced her.
Right, and a genuine talent, not just a hanger on. They talked on CBS today that she made sure that as she forged her music career, she did it on her own
as much
as she can, but to make sure that she had real talent and worked on it and nurtured her singing and so on, so that she'd be able to say that she deserved it. Yeah, Lisa Marie Presley, 54.
Right? And she did what she wanted to do. She wasn't concerned musically with chasing the trends and, trying to get hit after hit after hit with empty music. She made music that was really important to her.
Yeah, they talked about her resisting the hip-hop and rap trends that had popped up, that she's stuck with more ballads and things along that line that still would have broad appeal, but weren't just trendy. Okay. Yeah, so Lisa Marie Presley. Jeff Beck died this week. Of course, also, not necessarily in the cinematic world, but a well-known musician.
Absolutely. Guitarist Jeff Beck, widely considered to be one of the greatest guitar players of all time, died at the age of 78 from bacterial meningitis. He was the winner of 8 Grammys. He was a former member of the Yardbirds who went on to have solo success and played with so many of the top musicians and singers in the music field. So a lot of bands that we listen to today, their guitar players were influenced by Jeff Beck, and I suspect his influence will carry on for many decades to come.
And became a relative household word back, you know, in the 80s and 90s, well, 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s in his heyday, but never really held on to the fame of like an Eric Clapton or some of these other folks. Is that...
Yeah, I think he was much more concerned with being a consummate musician, where some of the others were more interested, or at least as interested, in being stars and celebrities. So that was something that kind of set him apart. He was very focused on his music.
Okay, yeah, Jeff Beck. All right. Well, we're going to miss him, and but we're glad his influence. You're right. His, you hear him in a lot of people.
Yeah.
You can hear that kind of music. All right. Finally, Critics' Choice Awards are this weekend. Mm-hmm. Tell us about those.
Critics' Choice Awards will be held this Sunday night. You can watch it on the CW from 7 until 10. And we announced some of our presenters this week. Michelle Pfeiffer will honor Jeff Bridges with the Lifetime Achievement Award. Kate Hudson will present our See Her Award to Janelle Monáe. That's an award for influential women in the entertainment business. Other presenters will include Benjamin Bratt, Cedric the Entertainer, Claire Danes is in there, all kinds of great people, Miles Teller, Anya Taylor-Joy, Kerry Washington. So we are going to have a star-studded event. Again, it's this Sunday night from 7 to 10 on the CW, the Critics' Choice Awards.
And is there a central host?
Chelsea Handler is our host this year.
Oh, that should be good.
Should be good. I cast my ballot last night, so my votes are in.
Oh, so you
and,
just
we
now
will see.
Vote for
today is the deadline to vote. I voted last night, and we'll see who wins. But well, yeah, Chelsea Handler is going to be hosting.
You like the Fablemans. They're nominated. Do you have a sort of sense who may win?
It's really hard to say. I think that Fablemans, the Banshees of Inisherin, and Everything Everywhere All at Once are probably the most likely contenders. I think they're probably the front runners, but you never know.
It's funny how Everything Everywhere All at Once has a tremendous resurgence of conversation about it lately.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies you can watch again and again, and you'll see things that you didn't catch before. And I think that really makes people want to go back to it and want to kind of toss it around.
Well, and the cast is out there again. So maybe in time for Critics' Choice, that might have been tied to that. You never know. Movie Mike, thank you so much. What are you going to see this week?
Today is Plane, starring Gerard Butler. How about that for a title, Plane?
Okay.
Kind of generic.
And is it a flying plane or something? A flat plane?
A flying plane. But
okay.
The plane crashes, so apparently the plane is not in it very much because most of the trailer is him on the ground shooting people. So we'll see.
Okay. To be continued. All right. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. Very much appreciated. Movie Mike McGranahan, aisleseat.com. Do as I do. Boy, go there. You can find out a lot of good stuff about movies. Campus Theater, campustheater.org, his sponsor.